As we reviewed the last time I spoke here, 5 weeks ago, every year at the Passover service, we read Christ's command to us all that we must abide in him and in his love and in his commandments. This is in the first few verses, the first 8 verses of John chapter 15. Today, as we are fast approaching this year's Passover service, let's consider another one of the essential ways in which we must abide in Christ and must be and become one with him in all that he is. In order to do that, let's start by turning to and reading one of my favorite scriptures over in the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, chapter 2, and verse 20. We'll read in the King James Version. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. King James says, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. An important part of our abiding in Christ is being crucified with him. By entering willingly into the fullness of his suffering and death on our behalf, in a continuing, ongoing sense, even as we abide in him continually. This year's Passover service will be commemorated right here, just over 7 weeks from tonight. And as part of our examining ourselves in preparation for the most holy and solemn memorial of Christ's death, it is appropriate to examine ourselves in the light and purposes of Christ's life, of his death, and of his resurrection. So my purpose today is, is this. Abiding in Christ must include abiding in his crucifixion. Abiding in Christ must include abiding in his crucifixion. For we are already now crucified with Christ. As we will see, we must not only abide in Christ as our resurrected, glorified Savior and intercessor with the Father, but we must also abide in his suffering and crucifixion because we are still living in our carnal, sinful, and sin-prone flesh. Our sinful flesh must be nailed to the cross, and not just any cross, but to the cross of Christ. We must be crucified with Christ on his cross. He bore our sins and our penalty of spiritual death for eternity on his cross. But we all know that we must suffer our own physical death at some time in the future, even as so many have in the past. Let's just read that over in Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll turn there quickly. Hebrews chapter 9. And just 2 verses, 27 and 28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many to those who eagerly wait for him. So there's a connection of those for whom Christ bears our sins with those who eagerly wait for him. He will appear a second time at his second coming, returning in glory. Apart from sin, he will have nothing to do with sin. Sin will have no part of him. It will have no temptation in his life after he was resurrected from the dead. For the purpose of salvation, for our salvation, for those he will come to resurrect to eternal life in the first resurrect at that time. And we can embrace that fact, knowing that we will die, knowing that our human body with a sinful nature must die before we can be resurrected to a glorious eternal life as spirit beings that will never, never, ever sin again. We can embrace that fact knowing that Christ himself, as our forerunner and captain of our salvation, had to die in the flesh for our sins, not for his own sins, in order to be freed from the temptations of his own flesh, even though, unlike all of us, he never sinned. And before he could be resurrected and restored to his former glory with the Father in heaven as a complete and perfect spirit being, no longer bound to this earth and to his physical body of flesh and blood. One way or the other, we must die. We must all die. Either we must finally and ultimately receive the just wages of our sin in our eternal physical and spiritual death, or we must join ourselves now in this life with the crucified Christ in death on his cross, not only benefiting from the forgiveness for the forgiveness of our sins by faith, but also so that we may rise and live in the newness of a spiritual life with him and in him, not only in eternity, but also now by faith, while we are still in this life, which he has even now redeemed by his blood, the blood of his cross. Let's read about that over in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Even now, we walk in this newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, when he returns and he resurrects us. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. In other words, sin is no longer active in us once we die. Now, if we died with Christ, this in our baptism, we believe that we shall also live with him in the resurrection. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. He has eternal life. It will never change. For the death that he died to sin once for all, not his own sin, but for our sin. But the life that he lives, life that he lives now, he lives to God, because he's with God the Father in heaven. Then going back to our case, likewise, you also reckon yourself, consider yourself, esteem yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Consider that we are alive to God in Christ, even as Christ is alive to God. Consider ourselves to be alive because we're with Christ. Therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies, our fleshly bodies now today, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, as if we were already alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Either way, we must die, either a final, irrevocable physical and spiritual death, or else a death conformed to that of Christ. We must agree by faith that his death was God's punishment for our sin, not only by joining ourselves by faith to his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, by our repentance to God the Father, can our guilt and eternal punishment be atoned and assuaged. Christ's blood and his cross purchased and, number one, not only gained the victory over guilt and punishment for our sin, but also, number two, gain the victory and deliverance from the power of the devil and of sin. And in addition, number three, gain the victory of the resurrected Christ's life in us. Knowing this should give us a strong yearning and desire to enter into and participate in the crucifixion of Christ as our deserved punishment. Not eternal death, for he atoned for that, but eventual physical death that we will eventually and finally free us from our sinful flesh. And even now in the crucifixion and death of our old man, our old sinful man, and of our sinful carnal nature. which, having been wiped out, demolished on the cross of Christ, can now be replaced, though not yet perfectly, by Christ's resurrection life and nature in us, by the spiritual life-giving power of his Holy Spirit living in us and transforming us from glory to ever greater glory, as 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18 points out. The power and victory of the resurrected Christ life requires the continual crucifixion of and death to our self-life in fellowship with the cross of Christ. There is and can be no continual victory of our new life in Christ without our continual fellowship with his suffering on our behalf and without our continual joining of ourselves with and in that suffering of Christ. To mortify or to kill our flesh continually is to embrace a continual, painful crucifixion of our carnal flesh and self-will and self-desires on the cross of Christ. Only as we remain crucified with Christ can we continue to live a victorious, new, resurrected life in Christ. It was and is the curse of the cross of Christ, and Christ became a curse for us in our place, that purchased the greatest blessings for us, not only purchasing for us freedom from our deserved penalty of eternal death, but also purchasing for us the new Christ life in us now, and then eventually eternal life, like his glorious life that he lives now with the Father, forever in the eternal family and kingdom of God at Christ's return and the first resurrection to our own eternal life. Therefore, there is no Christianity without Christ, without his cross, and with our willingly becoming one with him, abiding in him, in both his cross of suffering for us and our sin, and one with him in his new life in us, even as our old self-life remains crucified with him as we now rejoice in our new life in Christ. In the councils of eternity, Christ was slain from the foundation of the world for us because God and Christ love us so much. They treasure us, and not only us, but all mankind so very, very much. In closing, let's together read again Paul's declaration in his letter to the Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, even though I'm crucified, I live. Yet it's not I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, indeed, who loved me and gave himself for me and for you. I hope we can now have a greater appreciation for what Paul meant by saying that we are crucified with Christ. As we embrace our death, our crucifixion of self-will and self-life, as we examine ourselves in our preparation for this year's Passover service, and as we abide in Christ, which is everything for us, as children of our great and loving Father in heaven, amen.